The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is the Straight Up Breakdown Podcast,
exclusively on the Herd App Media Network.
Tell it to me straight up.
Hello, and welcome into the Straight Up Breakdown Podcast, proudly part of the Hail Varsity Network. I am Greg Smith, your This Week Has Gone By Way Too Fast friend, and so I keep losing track of what day it is. Today, I am joined by Husker volleyball legend and three-time Olympic medalist Jordan Larson. Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. So it's interesting, this show, and we've done this a couple of times where I've had someone on that we change up the show format just a little bit for it, and you get to be, I think, person number three or four that gets that kind of esteemed note on their ledger for being on the show. So I appreciate that. We met at the Nebraska Public Media live taping of the show that they had that is actually going to air Thursday, July 23rd. So by the time this goes live, it will have already aired. It's Title IX, 50 years in the making. You are a part of that panel. So I guess I want to start there before we get into a wide range of things that I want to talk to you about. I guess, how did it come to be that you were a part of that? And I guess, how was your experience working with Nebraska Public Media and talking about such an important topic?
Yeah, goodness, it probably started maybe 6 months ago or something like that, probably even longer. The conversation, one of the producers had reached out and like, hey, I have this vision. Obviously, this year is huge, celebrating 50 years, and it's awesome. And it's something that I just wanted to be a part of. Obviously, being a woman athlete in the sports world, like it's obviously, I have a lot to be thankful for, right? And I think that my experiences and things that I've been able to do have been second to none, right? They've been great. And so, but I think being a part of the panel was going to allow me to have this perspective of like how far we've come and how kind of where we can go from this point. And so, I don't know, it was just really, really cool to be able to do that and to be a part of it. And yeah, it was really fun to learn kind of and be grateful for everybody that has come before me and my experience. And now how can we continue to push more for the future?
Yeah, I thought that was really one of the things that struck me about the panel was hearing everyone's different perspective on kind of where they kind of picked up in kind of Title IX's history, right? So you had a wide range of, you know, from Carol Frost, that it was kind of right before that, to you who was at the end of that, right? Or not the end of it, but is closer, is now, right? And yep. So it was just a nice range of folks. And I'm glad that you mentioned kind of, you know, it that's a learning experience in itself, right? To be yep. able to see so many different women's perspective that had such varied experiences of what was happening around with Title IX and their athletic experience. I thought that was really unique.
Yeah, it was cool. Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys, before we get to Coach Speak, I've got a fantastic opportunity for you to work for a rapidly growing company that enjoys the benefits earned with having a competitive, stable history of over 20 years, FCS Edge. FCS Edge is a leading technology innovator serving governmental agencies. They support some of the world's largest patent offices throughout the U.S. and Europe, including European Patent Office, the German Trademark and Patent Office, plus the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Their team is constantly growing and they're always looking for new people to join their mission. Check out available jobs today at www.jobs@fsc.com. That's www.jobs@fsc.com. And so now one of the things too is that, you know, with you now getting into coaching, right? And you're kind of turning your attention to that. And obviously you've been coached a lot by various people. And you've mentioned kind of in that talk, some of like the mentors and things that have kind of shaped kind of your career and your outlook on sports and life. But I guess a kind of a broad one, what do you now, as you get into coaching, I guess, what do you want your coaching style to be? And how do you hope that that comes across?
Yeah. I think I've been able to play for a lot of great coaches in my career. And I think the one thing that has always stuck out to me is that I think there's so many different ways to do skills in volleyball, right? And I think everybody has a new way of teaching and how they teach and kind of, but I think it's remaining open to the athlete and more having a conversation. Hey, like, this is how I maybe see it and what has made, like, made me successful, but that doesn't always mean that that's going to make you successful. And so I think being open to having that conversation and finding ways that kind of make sense to the athlete and having them buy into something bigger than themselves versus me just kind of having this top-down approach of like, hey, you know, well, this is what I think and, you know, your opinion doesn't matter kind of thing versus like, no, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. What do you see? What do you feel? How is it, you know, if you apply it, like, what does it look like? And so I think that's kind of the understanding and thing I want to like kind of portray. And yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that that's something too? And it's interesting that you said that, because I feel like that's something that I think is found in successful coaches. I think coaches across all sports in a way kind of feel that way, that they need to be able to relate to players, but also get their input. But I also wonder if you think that that's something that is a younger coach mentality, that that has not always been the case, where you need to prioritize being able to take input from players.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. I think that's, I don't know. I just think in general, right, we're getting smarter in areas that maybe we, you know, weren't. I'm not saying that it was bad coaching before, because I think that I wouldn't be the player I am to have a different style of coaching, you know? So, but I do think that we are understanding better how to understand the athlete, where they're coming from. And obviously there's a lot of other, not issues, but other things going on with the athlete nowadays, like a lot more distractions and other things that are pulling them in other directions. And so being able to fully relate to them and how can we get the best out of them versus like more of aggression or, you know, that kind of mentality. Cause, but I do think that there, again, like I've had different kind of coaches like that and it's worked for me. And I do think there are athletes that do strive in that environment as well. So it's, I think just getting to know the athlete, understanding, and then being able to kind of coach accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so you mentioned like all of the things that kind of come with being a student athlete. And one of the things that basically I feel like I talk to everyone now, especially former athletes that are recently athletes, NIL, it comes up all the time. Right. And so I want to kind of phrase it this way. A, how do you think you would have handled that, having that option in college? And B, do you ever stop and think like, damn, I would have made a lot of money doing this, you know, as Jordan Larson at Nebraska volleyball.
Yeah, for sure. I go back and forth. I think it's cool that the athletes now get a kind of benefit off of that. I do hope that it doesn't take away from the experience for them. I think it's just, again, another added thing that's pulling them away from maybe, you know, being the best like student they can be and being the best athlete they can be. And so I think, you know, not only do they have, you know, studies, they have athletics and then social life. And now you're adding NIL. It's just another layer of complexity on how they can balance all of that. And so I think it's just being aware of that. But I do think it's good that they could, you know, save up and be able to like, you know, have something coming out of college. I think that's kind of my view on it. But for sure, it's kind of like, well, I wish I could have done that. But then I also think like I got an education too, right? Like that is worth something. And, you know, it's not technically dollars, you know, but it's, you know, my parents didn't have to pay for that. So that's in itself like advantageous as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think, too, that it's one of those things that, and I've talked to a number of people about this, is that the era that we're in now, like, I feel like people focus so much on, hey, you know, kids can get, you know, X amount of dollars, you know, for being, you know, a college athlete. But there's a whole kind of thing that's missed, in my opinion, of the education piece of it that goes along with that, right? And I still feel like, and I really believe this, that we're going to look up like 5-10 years from now, maybe even, and think and look back and see all these athletes or former athletes that started businesses because they learned something through all of this in like also combination with what they were learning in school. Like, I really think that that opportunity is there, but it's not as fun for people to talk about right now as it is like, hey, X recruit got this much money to come play football somewhere. Like, I just feel like that part gets totally overlooked.
Exactly. I agree with you. And I do think it's, there are added you know, advantages to it, not just the solely, you know, income from it. So for sure. And I think being able to understand that and have that, especially if you're going on to play pro and understanding mm-hmm. the complexities of that as well, I think is important. So
yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. and two, like one of the things that that I like to talk to you about former athletes, I had Bree Cassidy who played softball at Nebraska on a couple of weeks ago. And I asked her this question, it's very broad, but you'll get me here. How do you think that being at the University of Nebraska shaped you as a person?
Yeah, I think for me, the one reason I chose the University of Nebraska was because it was close to home, and being around family and friends was really important to me. And so I think not only was being close to home important, but I think the university was an extension of family and friends, right? Like it was an extension that felt, it was home for me and it was very comfortable for me. And I think it set me up for success because obviously I went on to play pro and all that stuff, but I think the environment that the volleyball team was in, like, allowed me to get comfortable playing in front of big crowds, understanding like the stress of being able to perform at a high level because they're obviously a very good team and, you know, results were important. And so I think, and then obviously too, on the education side of it, right? Like they take great care of their student athletes as far as, you know, being able to have tutors and just having the capacity to have their athletes, you know, be not only great athletes, but great students, you know? So I think that helped me kind of learn time management, understanding how to study, all those things kind of led into that. So, yeah.
You know, too, you mentioned the kind of the pressure and being able to get used to playing at like that high of a level. Was that something that you think you appreciated during your college career, or did that take a little bit of time afterwards for you to step back and go, that actually might have been good for me?
Yeah, no, I do think that I feel like at the time I felt like that, but for sure now knowing what I know, I definitely did not. And so I think I do wish and regret kind of being a little bit more present and understanding of like the scenario, but I feel like at the time I expressed gratitude, but I know now like how much like it does mean to me, and it did mean to me.
Yeah, it's so funny because you always tell younger people like, oh, enjoy what's happening, like be in the moment, all of that. And like, they're like, yeah, whatever. Like I am. But you don't fully realize like how much you aren't until after something like that, right? Like
yes.
It takes a little bit of time and reflection to be like, okay, I think I could have enjoyed that a little bit more, or like you said, express even more gratitude about those situations.
Exactly.
So what, like another thing too, and obviously you played for Coach John Cook, and I am consistently amazed at obviously at the run of success that he's had, and it's been so sustained. And so I want to ask it this way, ask you this: what is it about him that you think allows him to continue to have this type of run for this long?
I think he works really hard, right? I think like in order to be at that high level consistently, like he has to work pretty hard. And so, that, and then I think he has a good vision on things, you know, like even for me, like when I first came in, like, hey, you want to play at the highest level? Like, cool. Like we're going to do everything that we can to try and put you in that position now, you know, like here's a plan kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so I think, that would be two things that kind of stick out to me would be kind of for those reasons.
Okay. Which is interesting because it feels like too now is that one of the I don't know if the best things about Husker volleyball is a way to phrase it, but one of the like to me really unique things is you know that you're coming in with so many other high level players that it feels like the internal competition almost forces you sometimes to raise your level of play. Like I guess is that something that you feel when you're in the program?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like with anything, there's external stresses and things that, you know, kind of raise that. So I think just being, aware of that. And I do think that has helped kind of, raise the level in general. But I definitely did feel that for sure.
Okay. And one of the things that you noted during the talk for Nebraska Public Media is that, you know, you've been all over the world, right? So name a place you've been there. So a fun one for you that I was just kind of curious about. So which place did you go to and you were like, dang, I don't know about this food. And then you were like, oh, crap, that's really good. Like, which place did you end up really liking the food and you didn't expect it?
Oh, goodness. That's tough. Because I have a pretty like large palate. Like, I can really like eat anything, so like there's nothing that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can eat it. And sometimes it's like, well, this is literally the only thing I can eat, so I better eat it, and otherwise I'm gonna go hungry. So but I would say that in China there was a couple places that I've been that have been a little bit questionable as far as some of those things go, but in general it's like, again, like that's the only option. So what are you going to do? Starve? No, you're going to figure it out. And yeah. So I would say, yeah, in China, there was some places where I was like, I don't know. But then it ended up being pretty good. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not that adventurous, man. I don't know if I like, but you, like you said, you kind of have to do it or you won't eat. But I've always wondered that because it's just fascinating to me about, you know, you grow up with one thing and then you just got to get adjusted to a whole different style of food to basically, and you've got a fuel, right? To be able to play sports at a high level too. It's just fascinating to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, another thing too, is that, so as you kind of look and reflect back on your career, I guess, what is something that you feel like you had to work really hard to overcome, kind of like a hurdle moment, so to speak, to be able to push through? Do you have any of those that you can think of?
Oh, goodness. I think for me, when I lost my mom, like that was probably like one of the harder times in my life. I think obviously like she was a really big like advocate for me. And like, obviously when you lose someone, like one, lose a parent, and then like she was probably like my closest, like who I was closest to. I think when you lose that, like trying to navigate and understand that and how to like keep moving forward, you know, like life is never going to be the same, but like you're going to try to find a new normal. I think was definitely tough. And I think obviously that was external from volleyball, right? But I think having that support definitely translated to things on the court. And then I would say there was times, I mean, I think throughout my career, you know, like, can I do this anymore? Right. Like is, you know, as I've gotten older, it's like, man, am I at the age where I should be doing this anymore? You know, I think there was like all those doubts creep in often and probably more often than people maybe realize. Okay. And so, but I also think it's like as a high level athlete, like in order for us to keep pushing the envelope, like we kind of have to keep ourselves like down here sometimes and kind of like, hey, but remember this, or, you know, but also remembering like how to get back to being good. So it's definitely like creating a little bit of doubt and, or creating a little bit more, in my mind, I doubt myself more than probably other people think. So, just those are.
I do think that people would be surprised to hear that, though. I do think that, like, on average, a person would say, well, damn, that's Jordan Larson. Like, why would you be, like, doubting yourself? But it happens to everyone. I feel like people say that, and they're like, no, everyone, no matter who they are, have those moments of self-doubt and things that they need to overcome. Or they think, like you said, like, man, am I getting older or too old to do this? So, like, how do you continue then to, like, reinvent yourself and push through that so that you can continue to show up and make sure that, hey, you know, I'm still here. I'm still me. I can do this thing.
Yeah. I do a lot of visualization. And then also I do a lot of like, I go back and watch like good moments in my career or times where I felt like, hey, like in this moment, like I felt confident and like I felt like myself. So just kind of rehashing that in my mind. So not only filling it with like, hey, Jordan, you're not that good, or all, you know, the self-doubt, you know, but being able to be like, no, okay, but here's when you were good and how you feel good and all those things. So I think just being able to do that is important. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
So I like that. So when you're not like being awesome at volleyball, what do you like to do in your spare time?
I just like to spend time with family and friends, and I recently got into golf during quarantine, so that was awesome. And I've been really trying to explore that space. Otherwise, honestly, I don't have that much time off, so just trying to like take some time and relax. So,
were you good or decent at golf when you first started doing it?
I was always like kind of not always around it, but my dad would take me out randomly, and so I think I've always been able to like hit the ball pretty well. Like my eye hand coordination, I guess, is pretty good. So I've been okay at it, but it's definitely one of those sports where you're like, I swear I'm hitting it the same. Like, why is it not going in the same direction? You know, right. So all those things have been playing into it. So it's definitely being okay with being a learner. So
yes, like staying in that learner mindset is something that I think most people could benefit from, but you definitely get there when you're trying to play golf. Like that's one of those things that I wish I was better at, just because it can be relaxing, right? If you actually are, but you have to, I feel like you have to have a base level of decent at golf for it to be a fun time for you to be out there. Otherwise you're out there like me throwing clubs, like kicking the ball and trying to cheat. Like it just doesn't go well when I'm out there. Like it's just weird. It's so frustrating. But now I'm gonna keep trying because I want to get better at it. Like
you might as well.
So one of the things too, like, and I definitely have to ask you before I get you out of here, is pro volleyball leagues. So I was talking to producer Cam about this before you came on, and we were just kind of just chatting back and forth about why it is that that hasn't necessarily taken off as much as some people think it should. I guess why do you think it hasn't? And do you think that that can change moving forward?
Yeah, I do think it can change. And I do think that there is a time right now where they're like there's a push for women in sport and professional sports and kind of putting them in front of people, you know? And so I think that that's encouraging. I think it is odd because I think volleyball is now like one of the most played youth sports like in America. And so like there's definitely a capacity for it. And I feel like there's a need for it, but also I'm a volleyball person, right? So I think to me, it's an exciting sport to watch. And obviously, like when you think about Olympic Games and like what's being broadcasted often is beach volleyball, right? But even there's a space that could be grown even more. And so I thought from the Title IX show the other day, I thought Coach Booth had put it perfectly. It's like we don't have necessarily like a male counterpart that is than bigger than us, that we can kind of like grow off of them a little bit. And so, and it's unfortunate because too, like if you look at Europe, right, it's the opposite, right? Male, like men's volleyball overseas is much higher watched than maybe women's volleyball in some areas. And so it's just interesting understanding our dynamic here and how we haven't still been able to like push the envelope in that area. So, I do think there's a space for it. And I know there are talks happening and things that are happening. I just hope that it's something that can be sustained, and that girls that are, you know, younger than me are able to like see the vision and see a possibility, right? Like I knew I wanted to play in the Olympics, but I didn't know that it meant that I had to go live overseas for 8 months out of the year, you know, all these things. So I just think that one, there's more awareness around it and it's more in the public eye. So I think that's important. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely important. And I hope it happens and continues to take off and those conversations continue to happen, because you just think about, like, I think Coach Cook was the one that said this on that show as well. And that little cutscene that he had was that, or the roundtable that he did about the TV inventory when it comes to the Big Ten. Like, the Big Ten is like tripping over themselves to get volleyball on TV. And so obviously it's being watched. It's just continuing to raise that awareness and continuing to get it out there. Because I think that it could take off. I would be really fascinated to see that continue to take shape. Now, every week we end the show with my favorite segment of the show called Put Them on Blast, where we basically put someone on blast for something that they did or said.
Put them on blast.
I'm going to go first this week. And I'm actually going to go with a baseball team, and we haven't, I don't know if they've ever come up on the show a single time before, but it is Los Angeles Angels. It seems like every time you hear about the Angels, it is something where Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout are doing something amazing, but then it just happens that the Angels lost. And Ohtani did another great thing just here recently, where he in back-to-back games, he struck out 13 batters in a 5-0 run, establishing a career high in his 47th MLB start. He retired 23 of the last 24 batters that he faced. The night before that, he went nuts at the plate, hitting a pair of three-run homers and had 8 RBIs in an extra innings game. And they are now, I think, arousing 4 games under 500. And it seems like all the time, like, that team has 2 of the biggest stars in baseball. And Shohei Ohtani is, like, as marketable as anyone in all of baseball. Mike Trout is in his own way. It's just kind of weird because you never see him. And I feel like he could walk in my high V and I wouldn't know him. And I feel like that's on purpose. But also that's a part of the Angels and part of them not making the playoffs enough. So for all of that and much more, the Angels need to go on blast. And that is my pick for this week, for having these 2 generational talents and not being able to put enough around them.
That's amazing. Yeah, the fact that you can, I should watch more sports. The fact that you know all that, I'm like, wait, what's happening? And mine's probably not going to be like as great, but what's the offensive line? No, defensive tackle for LA Rams that just signed
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. So he actually works out like pretty close to our home. And so I like have been able to like obviously see him like working out. Like he's bigger than you would expect, but it's impressive to me that like, right? Like everybody's like, same with Tom Brady, like you're going to retire. And then all of a sudden he just comes out and just lands this, what is it? $95 million contract or something ridiculous.
Yeah, something like that.
And it just makes me think like, obviously these guys are pretty like getting up there. Right. So I think I'm going to put them on blast for their age, but that means also I'm putting myself on blast because right. I'm also like equivalent to them, but it's also like, man, maybe I can still do it. So but it's pretty cool. And I just think, well, why give it up if you still love it? So I don't know if that even...
nope, that counts. That definitely counts. It counts, but it's also interesting, though, because it's something that I feel like has come up in sports. Like, and it's across the board is how players are playing longer in their sports, and they're like playing at a higher level at, I don't want to say advanced ages. We're the same age. So I don't want to be like advanced ages because that now I got to put myself on blast. But like, it's just, it's interesting to see that evolution of sport, right? Is that I think part of that is that people are able to take care of their bodies in a much better way. And there's so much science and information out there. And there's such a lot of high level athletes commitment to being able to make sure you're taking care of your body so you can stay playing at that high of a level as well. It's just fascinating to me because I don't know how long I would be able to have that level of dedication either.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's impressive. So
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, that's going to do it for us this week. Make sure you're checking out the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast everywhere that you listen to them. Rate us and leave us a 5-star review. If you leave 4, I'm inclined to think you're a hater and nobody wants that. Make sure that you're checking out the other podcasts on the Hill Varsity Network, the Mind Your Own Podcast, Varsity Club, Nebraska Preps Post Game Show, and the Hill Varsity Radio Show. Also, make sure you're checking out, subscribe to the YouTube channel for Hill Varsity. You can find me back on there with another recruiting question of the week. You can also get after us on Twitter at @GregSmithHV and @JordanLarson10. Jordan, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
A Huda Media Production.